You're listening to the Whale Scout Podcast with your host, Whitney Neggebauer.
Welcome to the Whale Scout Podcast, everyone. My name is Whitney Neggebauer, and I'm the director of Whale Scout. Today is Thursday, November 15th, 2018. And later on in the podcast today, we will be interviewing Erin Cora from Folks, our Friends of Limekiln Society. And she'll be sharing with us some special events and some really interesting new programs that they have going on at the Limekiln Lighthouse on San Juan Island. So first, a little bit of news. I just heard today, this evening, that a deceased killer whale calf has been found on Nootka Island. And so that's up generally in the northern resident killer whale territory. So we do not know which population that this orca calf has come from. However, a sample has been taken and DNA analysis will take place. And so it'll be a little while, but we will eventually know where this killer whale calf came from. So with 74 southern resident killer whales right now, and we know that there are a few pregnant females out there, fingers crossed it's not a southern resident, but of course it's hard to lose any orca. So we'll keep you informed on what happens with that. Since we last spoke, the final orca task force meeting has wrapped up, and it did not disappoint as far as excitement and controversy goes. In a last-minute move, the Orca Task Force decided to recommend a suspension of whale watching from all vessels on southern resident killer whales. Now, this story has really taken over the news right now, and it's a little bit sad to say that it has also sort of overshadowed a lot of really good recommendations, like spill increasing over dams, a speed limit for vessels around the whales that would have a really significant impact. Another recommendation is to convene a group of stakeholders around mitigating potential losses with the removal of Snake River dams, should that become the decision that's made moving forward. And fully funding habitat restoration for salmon, and also strengthening some of the regulations and laws that are on the books that protect salmon habitat. So, you know, if all those things were to be accepted by the governor and implemented, that would be a really, really huge step forward. So we're keeping a close eye on that. And I'm sure you've been reading the stories in the media as well. So what needs to happen now is tomorrow, Friday, November 16th, the task force will be releasing their final report, which we don't really expect will have very many changes to it, but we'll have to see. And then from there, Governor Inslee will take that final report, and we'll have to see what happens from there. A lot of these things will be going through the legislature in Olympia, so the work is absolutely not done. In fact, the really hard work is just beginning. So stay tuned with us, and we'll have opportunities potentially for you all to get involved. Right now, J-Pod and K-Pod have been spending the last few days in southern Puget Sound. It seems like, as reported by Orca Network, they're spending a lot of time around the Vashon area, went west Seattle, south into Tacoma. We've had Whale Scout volunteer naturalists out at a lot of different beaches. It seems like the Owens Beach near Point Defiance in Tacoma has actually had a lot of really great sightings. One of our naturalists a week or so ago was interviewed by a local news station, so that was really cool. And so stay tuned on our social media pages on Facebook and Twitter to maybe in the next few days, the whales will continue to be around, and you might be able to meet up with one of our naturalists on shore to watch whales with us. If I didn't already mention it, we believe that these whales are down here in search of chum salmon, which are my favorite Pacific salmon. They're just so cool and so gnarly looking. If you ever get a chance to go out and see them spawning, I just went a week ago to Chico Salmon Viewing Park over on the Kitsap Peninsula and watched just dozens and dozens of chum salmon. They're just so great. So if you haven't gone to watch salmon and there's no whales around, I suggest you look for a local salmon stream to go check out some chum. Also in the news right now, Linda Mapes is putting together a series of news stories. So the first one was released in the last Sunday edition of the Seattle Times. It's also available online. And my understanding is that these stories will continue for a few weeks. So check that out, seattletimes.com. And on the paper newspaper, old school style. It's where I first saw it, at the PCC in Redmond, in fact, where we were celebrating Orca Recovery Day, which was just last weekend, which is an event put on by the Puget Sound Conservation Districts. And we joined in as a partner, and we worked with Forterra at a private property site in Redmond on Bear Creek. And we had 21 volunteers come out and plant 47 different trees and shrubs. It's a really cool new project that we're doing thanks to a grant supported by the Nature Conservancy, where we're working to restore the riparian vegetation along salmon streams. So check out our Facebook and website for more information on that and how you can get involved again to check out that site and continue to help. Next week, the week of Thanksgiving, we are launching our annual online fundraiser, where we are, and thanks to a lot of our partners and contributors and volunteers, there are a lot of really awesome perks or gifts that are up for grabs that are a thank you for your donations to Whale Scout to help with our programs ongoing into 2019. So peek back at our website and on social media pages for around Thanksgiving. It's also a great way to celebrate Giving Tuesday, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. If you are in town for Thanksgiving, in fact, the day after Thanksgiving, REI created a campaign called Opt Outside. You can opt out of shopping for Black Friday and instead go outside and enjoy some nature for free. And our naturalists are stationed out at public parks, and you can meet up with us and learn about whales and learn about other wildlife that you might see there that day. And it's just a great way to connect with the outdoors and spend some time connecting to where you live. So again, that will be on Friday, Black Friday, our Opt Outside Day. And we look forward to meeting you. There'll be a list of locations on our Facebook page in our events section. So check that out. We are back here on the Whale Scout Podcast, and we're now joined by Aaron Cora of Folks, our Friends of Limekiln Society. Aaron, it's so great to have you chat with us today. I would love for you to first start off with a little bit of how Folks came to be and how you got involved being at Limekiln State Park.
Yeah, well, hello, Whitney, and thank you for having me be part of your wonderful organization and podcast. This is really exciting stuff.
Of course.
I love what Whale Scout does, and you're wonderful with your work, so I admire that greatly.
Well, thank you.
Well, Folks kind of started off out of default in a lot of ways. I was actually an interpretive specialist out at Limekiln Point State Park, running the interpretive programs and volunteer programs and stewardship aspects and events and just kind of all different sorts of things as far as visitor experience. And I was out there for about four seasons starting in 2007. And by the end of 2010, the budget cuts in the state had eliminated the interpretive specialist positions. Just kind of all the different interpretive programs throughout the state got majorly cut. And that was kind of just the beginning of the cuts. Many other aspects of the parks and maintenance and whatnot were drastically cut as well. So there is a huge cutback in all sorts of things in the state parks. So it was a really difficult time in those first couple of years. And But that basically made me feel like the we have 350,000 people from 40 different countries coming through that park annually, and mostly concentrated May through September. So the need for visitor connection to the place and the community was still there. So I felt like there was a need to somehow find a solution to that. And that's kind of how Folks was born, hugely due to amazing conversations with community members, Ralph Monroe, Ken Belcom. They were huge and integral in the beginning of Folks and kind of getting it off the ground with me. So by 2011, that fall, we had launched and with the Washington State Parks Foundation as our fiscal sponsor, we were kind of more of an official group for the park and the lighthouse and all the fun activities that we were trying to do out there.
That's awesome. How many people would you say come to the park to see whales as their major focus? And how many just kind of are there because they would just want to see the park itself?
Oh my gosh, that's a hard one. Actually, that's hard to capture. We haven't really done any surveys in that sense. Bob Otis, actually, he would probably be a good one in that sense to capture that type of information, because he does regular survey work and walking and talking with people down at the lighthouse. I'd say, though, 80 to 90% of the people coming there have been told about Whale Watch Park or are coming back as repeats. And then there's a good chunk of people that don't even know. They just walk in and then they have this amazing experience and then their lives are changed forever.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. It's quite a mix, but I'd have to say that a lot of people definitely know that it's known for whale watching, and that's the main point. And then also people love the lighthouse. It's very iconic in the islands and all over the world, really. So I think there's a good chunk of people that like to come because of the lighthouse as well.
Right. So, yeah, Limekiln State Park sits on the west side of San Juan Island, and it faces Harrow Strait and Canada. So there's amazing views, beautiful lighthouse, just a great picnic area.
Yeah, it's well known for its sunsets, that's for sure, too.
Oh, yes. So, Erin, what is a typical summer like for you guys?
Oh, well, it gets really busy. Like I said, we had 350,000 people from 40 different countries rolling through that park. So in 2018, we do a lot of collecting of numbers and the attendance. We had the Interpretive Center that was open 128 days, with over close to 36,000 people coming through it.
Wow.
And one of the biggest day, it was in mid-July, and we had over 600 people come through the Interpretive Center. We're open daily from 11 to 4, and 605 people is a lot of people shuffling through there. So it's pretty amazing to have the doors open there. With lighthouse tours, we gave close to 300 tours, about 47 nights worth, and had over 1,700 people come through with tours up to the top.
And all of this is staffed by volunteers, right?
Right. So this is just highlighting all the volunteers and their efforts. It's a wonderful team. I have about 30 volunteers total throughout the season, including our board. So there's on the scene, frontline, boots to the ground stuff, as well as behind the scenes going on with this. And then as far as our park and low tide tours, we had over 336 people that came on those tours. So overall, between the Interpretive Center and Lighthouse and events and the park tours, we had over 1,300 hours volunteered just in 2018 season.
Wow.
And it's pretty much May through September. So it's pretty amazing that the work that the volunteers are doing. And I'm the only contracted paid person as far as Folks goes. as executive director and founder, you know, I kind of keep everything flowing, but man, the volunteers, it just would not happen without them. And we sell Discover passes out of the Interpretive Center, and between the annual and daily passes, by keeping those doors open, we're sending close to $40,000 directly down to headquarters, which gets distributed then throughout the whole state park system. So it's we're helping the state parks, we're helping Lime Kiln, everything that gets donated, as well as the purchases of the gift in the gift shop, that stays right in Lime Kiln. So that's direct fundraising for Lime Kiln and also our operations and what we're doing. So it's pretty amazing what's going on with just a few months out of the summer. So we're actually looking to expand and see how we can get more into the off season and continue the fun, basically.
And so tell us, what is Folks' presence like at the park?
Well, our main mission really is, you know, to provide the most unique experience for visitors and through the support and development of the different programs, educational, interpretive type of programs, any kind of activities and events that we can relate to the park, you know, due to its extraordinary location and the diversity of ecosystems and of course, the historic structures. You know, we're it's a well-known place, and I feel like the more we can connect the people to the place and to each other through their experience that they're having already, I mean, it inspires. It's a very inspiring place. In so many ways, and it's very personal for a lot of people when they go there to just have that place and experience it. And I really hope that we can inspire awe into action, that people can take something home with them, and either they want to get involved locally with the park itself, or they go home and, you know, to wherever they are in their corner of the world and want to be able to make a difference in their community. And then hopefully make it a better place for everyone. You know, and I really believe that Lime Kiln, even though it's about 40 acres, only 40 acres big, it is a microcosm of the Salish Sea. You can really experience and enjoy all the different aspects that you would throughout the Salish Sea right there in the park. And you know, so it's just an incredible spot and platform for stewardship and education.
Yeah, and when you say it's the microcosm, it's also the way I think of it too, is like it's a place where it builds so much community. There are so many, you know, whale geeks out there that have met fellow whale geeks sitting on the rocks at Lime Kiln that have spurred these lifelong friendships and connections. Where people go back year after year and to see each other. And so I think that's a really special part about the park as well.
Oh, absolutely. It just is a host, lends as a host for all kinds of connections and ways that people don't even realize until they're there and experiencing it. And then again, their lives are just changed forever. Mine has.
Yeah.
I'm a girl from Michigan that never saw whales until I came out here. You know, I've never seen them in captivity. I just saw pictures. I just, something about it drew me here, and I am forever changed.
Yeah. So if someone has never been to Lime Kiln Park, they would probably pull up, park, and one of the first things that they see is the Interpretive Center. Can you walk us through the Interpretive Center and what you've got going on in there?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that is definitely the biggest highlight as far as what we do. A lot of our energy goes into making sure that the doors to the Interpretive Center are open. When you walk in initially, a lot of times people are just kind of walking by and they don't realize, and they look to their right and boom, all of a sudden you have this huge dorsal fin of J1 ruffles that was replicated by a local artist, Matthew Gray Palmer, And then that actually, I know for a fact, the people are starting to walk by, but they see that and they stop in their tracks and they come in because of that dorsal fin. And they see the murals on the wall, this beautiful artwork by Jill Patterson, you know, just a state-of-the-art little building. It was actually originally built for the lighthouse keepers as their little shop, basically, back in the 30s and 40s. And we don't have an exact date, actually, when it was built. But, you know, so it's a historic building in itself. And then in 2006, it was turned into an interpretive center. And that's actually when I came on in 2007 for the first season to operate that and all the programs. And we have a beautiful little gift shop in there, and I do all the merchandising for that as well, which is really fun because there's so many fun things out there locally as well as just whale anything. You know, we're pretty whale and lighthouse centric in that place. So people have a lot of fun coming in and checking that out. And we have a couple really fun interpretive stations there, one with a video that we just recently made, just kind of highlighting all the different things about the park. And then they can go into this little intertidal zone, another area that Matthew Gu Palmer and Jill Patterson created for us, a little please touch table. It's right at the height of kiddos. So the kids gravitate right to it, and the adults are like, wait, don't touch that. And they read the sign that says, please touch. And then they back off and let the kids hang out. So it's pretty cute to watch how people interact with the different stations. And what's exciting, too, we just got a grant, actually, from the San Juan Community Foundation to redo and upgrade one of the stations where we have the spectrogram and video station where people can push little buttons and it's interactive where they can kind of see what it looks like on the spectrogram with the recordings from the hydrophones that we get off the lighthouse, as well as videos, what people might see from shore, and then trying to identify the critters that they might be seeing.
And then outside of the interpretive center, what sort of programs do you have going on?
Well, I have regular volunteers coming, and mostly during the peak season, where a couple different days a week we'll have them doing guided tours throughout the park, as well as down into the intertidal zones, and we'll have scheduled as well as just impromptu tours where we just have roving volunteer interpretive naturalists going around and trying to help answer questions, as well as just garner some curiosity and discovery in throughout the park. And then, of course, we also have our evening lighthouse tours two or three times a week from like 7 until sunset. So that's always a highlight for people to come out to the park for sunsets. And then we also allow people to go up to the top to the lens room and check it out from above as well.
Yes, having spent many, many hours inside the lighthouse on the bottom floor, I will tell you that a lot of people are very interested to go to the top of the lighthouse, and that is a huge draw, and it is really, really cool to be up there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it never gets old. I mean, it's ever-changing. The water and the sky, everything around you is just always this dynamic constant scenery.
Yeah. And I understand there's a very special event coming up surrounding the lighthouse.
Yes, exactly. The lighthouse is turning 100 next year. So we're getting very excited about that.
Yeah.
It was actually first lit June 30th of 1919. So June 30th of 2019. It happens to be a Sunday, so it's perfect. Who doesn't want to be in a park on a Sunday? So we're going to have an afternoon, evening full of events, music, and also we're going to have some keynote speakers from, hopefully we'll have some Coast Guard admirals, some park commissioners, different lighthouse fanatics. And we're also hoping to do some different fundraising for the lighthouse. We're actually creating a wine label and going to have some special wine out there, as well as having a lighthouse cake baking contest.
Ooh.
And then turning that into a cakewalk. So So, and then we'll also do kind of silent auction type things as well. So it's going to be a pretty fun event, and definitely mark your calendars. You won't want to miss it.
So June 30th of this coming summer. So we have plenty of time to make a ferry reservation.
Exactly. It's right on the biggest kind of weekend leading up to 4th of July. And that's when summer's really hitting. So we're pretty excited about having people out for that for sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be really amazing. I cannot wait. And I hope, of course, that the whales come by right at the right time to celebrate with you.
Absolutely. Well, and we actually did just get a $10,000 grant as well from the Lighthouse Environmental Program, which is the Lighthouse license plates that you see around Washington State.
Yes.
And we were granted a nice chunk of change to try to start replacing and upgrading the lighthouse windows in the lower portion of the lighthouse there.
Oh, that's going to be great. Just a personal aside, good to know that those license plate fees go somewhere to a good cause. Right. Yeah. you always see the orca ones and you're like, is that going somewhere good? And I've never heard of anyone been like, we got orca license plate funding to do great stuff. So it's cool to hear that the lighthouse
Whale Scout should check into that then.
Yeah, I always felt like it was a dead end, so I haven't even tried, but maybe I will.
Yeah, a worthy investigation, no doubt.
Yes, I will. Is there anything else you have going on this winter when you're kind of in a lull that's gearing up for next year? You mentioned a couple of other projects in the IC. Is there anything else?
We did get a couple LTAC grants, the town and the county, and those are just basically the bed tax that I know a lot of counties and towns have. So we're going to be applying some of those funds towards the festive, the centennial celebration. We are definitely wanting to upgrade our website so we can get more interactive with that. And then also what's really exciting is we're looking into applying some of that money towards a virtual reality installation in the Interpretive Center as well.
Wow.
So the area where we have the lower intertidal zone, we're going to have the video where you actually start off on shore and then go under the water and check out what's going out in front of the lighthouse.
Wow.
So we're really, really excited about that, just to bring a little more interactive experience to the park, because it's not just whale watch park, it's whale wait park. And with the changing of the guards a little bit, with more transients in the area as opposed to the southern residents, we still want to have people come to the park and have a wow experience. And it's not that we're trying to replace anything, but it's also things are changing. So we're hoping to continue to have a lot of valuable experience that people can be inspired and intrigued out of the park.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. And like, I was just thinking for accessibility, you know, because it's rocky and can be hard to walk around and get down right in the intertidal area. And of course, getting underwater is even more logistically challenging. But that's kind of a nice way to maybe give some folks an idea of what it might be like to move to some other areas around the park that may not be physically able to be, you know, get there.
Exactly. Having it accessible to everybody. So that's very important indeed. And so we're constantly kind of looking at ideas and trying to understand how to enhance the visitor experience. And I mean, the people are coming there. We don't need to work with that. We've got to work with who's there. And the more the merrier. I feel like it's more about manpower than money. Because of the amount of people that are coming to the park. And, I feel like we could never have enough volunteers out there, you know, sharing and caring about this place and, you know, being the stewards of this place. So, but obviously money definitely helps, because we can do things like this and enhance and upgrade and update what's going on in the Interpretive Center, and also, you know, the programs that we can go above and beyond with. We actually just learned that the parks decided to fully fund a new amphitheater at the park as well. So that's going to enhance our programs. I actually, you know, if we want to do any kind of educational interpretive programs, but also weddings, I piloted a program back in 2011 as well to start fundraising for the Lighthouse by renting it out as a venue for weddings and photography, you know, photo opportunities and stuff like that. So that's been a wonderful fundraiser for the Lighthouse, and I think the amphitheater will just enhance that as well.
Very cool. Yes, I was going to ask if people are local or even not so local, how might they get involved with volunteering?
Oh, well, give us a call anytime. We have Facebook page, website. You can call my number, which is the folks number, at 360-378-5154 anytime, mm-hmm. or find us online at folkssji.org. And I'm more than happy to have a conversation and kind of feel out what your interests are and what you're inspired to be a part of as far as what we're doing at the park. I feel like there's a place for everybody. So if you have a little time or a lot of time, different skill sets, it's totally doable. I'm always looking for ways to integrate people and being inclusive. Absolutely.
Well, wonderful. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners?
We do have an event right around the corner, annual holiday open house, actually, where we have lighthouse decorating and tours. We have really festive treats. We have Santa that's there ready to have pictures with everybody at the lighthouse. We also are going to have the Interpretive Center open with some holiday gift ideas, hopefully for people, as well as a silent auction up there. So we're always trying to find ways to get creative and fundraise for the park. And especially with the centennial coming up, this is going to be a wonderful opportunity to bring more light to the park and the lighthouse itself. So that's going to be December 9th of 2018, just right around the corner. And it'll be another Sunday afternoon, probably about 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. So if people want to come out, come enjoy the park, rain or shine, we'll have hot tea and cocoa for people that want to come in and come out of the cold. Or a lot of times we have people out there that are storm chasing too, so you get some fun waves crashing on the rocks and so we'll get a lot of different kinds of people roaming out there, too.
Yeah, sort of a different experience in summertime, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's actually the day after a really fun island event going on Saturday. So I'm hoping that people will be out and about for that as well and come on out on Sunday afternoon to the park.
And what's the Saturday event?
It's at Brickworks. It's actually a holiday kind of bazaar as well.
Oh, okay.
I think that people can look up Brickworks, San Juan Island, or Friday Harbor, and you'll be able to see that going on as well.
And if you're coming from out of town, you can make the weekend of it and get a good jump start on your holiday shopping.
Exactly.
Awesome. So. Well, it's great. It was so fun chatting with you today, and I am kind of looking forward to summer already with the centennial celebration. So thanks for that. And it was great chatting. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, Whitney.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening to the Whale Scout podcast today. As always, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, and these shows will be sent directly to your phone. Thank you very much. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to the Whale Scout podcast. Your voluntary donation goes toward the recovery of whale species and enhanced whale watching opportunities in the Pacific Northwest. Please visit www.whalescout.org for more information. Yeah.